Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Welcome back to the Paracast. Chris O'Brien is not here this week. And there's a specific reason for that, and I'll give it to you. Now, to give you a background, 3 years ago on the Paracast, we featured Chris's brother, Brendan O'Brien, and his girlfriend, Johnny. They together ran a business called Maya Sites Travel Services. In fact, we liked it so much, and I was trying to help out Chris's brother, I decided to host their site on our server. Well, in any case, Brendan was a smart, personable guy. I didn't know him very well. I was in touch with him occasionally. And then I learned a few weeks ago, as Chris has expressed on the Paracast, that Brendan was diagnosed with cancer of the esophagus. And over a period of 3 weeks, he received chemo treatment. It seemed, I guess, for a time that he was making progress. And then his prognosis became worse. Brendan O'Brien died on the 23rd of March. And so we send out our condolences to Johnny and his stepdaughter, and of course to Chris. And we're sorry for his loss. And Chris will tell us more when he returns about his brother Brendan, on whom he relied a lot, obviously, for friendship and for advice. Brendan O'Brien. This week on the Paracast, we have a guest co-host, someone who's been on the show before, Kirk Collins, whom some of you know from our forums as Sentry. He has been presented here as an expert on the Cash Landrum case, but he's also, I guess, the moderator or chief cook and bottle washer of JimMosley.com. That's a site that I established shortly after Jim Mosley, our favorite court jester, died of, by the way, cancer of the esophagus. So he's been running this site ever since. And before we get on with our discussions and everything, Kirk, first of all, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
About JimMosley.com, why did you decide you wanted to take it over?
There was a void, and I definitely wanted to see Jim remembered. And there were so many things that that he never got around to writing about, and a lot of people didn't recognize his accomplishments. His reputation is for a court jester, a ufology, as you say, and he did like to stir up controversy and poke some fun, but he also had a lot of serious accomplishments along the way. You know, I know everyone's familiar with his work with George Adamski exposing him, but even if sometimes it was just a matter of being a gossip columnist, he was always on top of what was going on and really did a great job of keeping up with the events in ufology and in a sense served as a social historian. So anyway, I liked Jim quite a bit, and I just definitely want to see his efforts remembered and his work recognized.
It's JimMosley.com. Pay a visit. You will see some of his writings. You will see biographies of him. You'll learn about the crazy stunts he pulled, but also about the very good work he did in the UFO field. And he was useful at times when the field was just kind of dead. Things weren't happening. And he pulled some of these stunts with his friend, the late Gray Barker, quite often just to keep the subject alive. And we could look at it later on and say, you know what? What right did he have to perpetrate these hoaxes? Didn't he kind of muddy the waters? And the answer is yes, he did. But he also did a lot of good work. He also provided social commentary. And he also made us question things we said. He poked holes in a lot of the things that people said and did in the UFO field. The site is JimMosley.com, JimMosley.com, and there's a contact thing there if you want to get in touch with Kurt, or you have suggestions about how the site should run, what kind of content you'd like. He'd be glad to hear from you and keep things up.
Absolutely. And should anyone happen to have any great photos, particularly him with his friend Carl Flock, we'd love to have those on the site. There's lots of gaps in the history of the UFO conventions that he put on. And like to have some more coverage of that. So, yeah, I'd appreciate hearing from anyone on that.
Now, for many years, Jim was the permanent chairman of the National UFO Conference. It was first established back in the mid-60s by a couple of guys, late teens, such as Rick Hilberg and Alan Greenfield. And I was a member of their organizing crew. And Jim got very close to everyone, and they made him permanent chairman, and he kept running it. In fact, in 1967, one of the biggest UFO events up to that time occurred in New York City, the National UFO Conference. I sponsored one, by the way, in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, in 1975, my first and last attempt. So I guess we're going to have remembrances, because this year there's supposed to be a reunion later this year of people who were involved in the National UFO Conference. I think that's going to happen in Cleveland.
That's right. And it looks to be a more of an informal get-together rather than a rigid, structured conference. So it's really a chance to get to know the people and share memories and things like that. I hope to be able to attend. But, you know, I definitely, anyone that's in the area and interested in UFO history, this is a chance to meet some living legends.
Or almost living legends, depending on your point of view.
Right.
I might go there. I might not. I'm really on the fence about it right now. We'll take a look and see. I might have to get a donation for a plane ticket if I go. But we'll see. We'll make a decision later on. That's a National UFO Conference. All this stuff you can look up in Google. All right? So if you want to find out what it's all about, you can do it that way. Let's focus a little bit about what's going to happen here in just a few moments. Now, sometime back, we featured James Carrion, who is a former international director of the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. And he had written a book called The Rosetta Deception, which made the point that the ghost rocket cases of the mid-1940s were largely counterintelligence activities, in part to spook the Russians, that sort of thing. And he told us at the time he's working on the Roswell case. Now, since then, he had a run-in with MUFON that I'm going to ask him about. Also, supposedly, the book itself, which is now available free, and he'll tell you where to get a copy, he has revised that book with more material. So we're certainly interested in that, and we're certainly interested in asking him about his new book, The Roswell Deception. The title obviously conveys the impression of what he thinks about Roswell. And this comes at an interesting time because of the Roswell slides, this story that they found these two slides in an old home in Arizona near Sedona. Why is it always Sedona? And they supposedly depict what might be, I say might be, an alien being. Kurt, have you followed this Roswell slides stuff?
More than I would like to admit, but yes,
uh-oh,
I have. For quite a long time, I was just keeping up with what little news leaked out about it and started having a conversation with some friends, and we just started trying to dig up the information on it and have sort of become a little investigative team of our own, trying to check out the, because there's a number of claims. It just seems like the story is was so sketchy. Without Roswell, it falls apart. It's almost like the circular logic, you know, a four-year-old say, well, because. They found slides of a body. Well, it must be a Roswell alien. Couldn't be from another spacecraft. I mean, there's so many connections that have been made that seem to be speculative, imaginative, maybe wishful thinking. And it just seems unsupported by evidence. And, well, we can talk about the body, too. But what's your take on it so far?
My take on it is, if you really have a story to tell, do what Apple Incorporated does, which is don't tell anything, don't say anything until you have the information to present. Apple doesn't tell you about their new products unless they have something to demonstrate or it fits with their marketing proposal, which is sometimes a new product in a new category comes out and they present it 6 months earlier. Otherwise, when they're ready to release it or almost, then you tell. But right now we're getting all this preliminary nonsense touting what this is all about. We haven't seen anything yet. Well, it's going to happen. It's going to be behind the curtain. Pay for this session in Mexico City. Go to Mexico City to see what's going on. I don't know. I'm still skeptical. I think they're trying to sell it too much. It's what we call in the computer business vaporware. In any case, we have James Carrion coming up next with Gene Steinberg Kurt Collins with Gene. And with Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens and dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard, and also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries, they help to neutralize free radicals. Your damage close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So this week, we have Kurt Collins joining us as our guest co-host. Chris O'Brien is mourning the passing of his brother, Brendan O'Brien. He'll be back next week. Let me tell you, before we continue with our guest James' carry-on, we have a place we want you to visit. It's called plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, and that's where you learn more about our premium service. Paracast Plus. And we offer a couple of things right now. We offer After the Paracast, which is kind of an extension of this show where we do color commentary and talk about a lot of other things. So we give that free to subscribers to the Paracast Plus. It's the only way to get a copy. We also offer a special version of the show, higher quality audio with 41 minutes of those network ads taken out. So those of you who say, get rid of the ads, well, you know, they're needed in commercial radio, but if you want to be without the ads, you could get Paracast Plus for a modest monthly or annual subscription rate. And we're also giving away one more thing, and that is the ebook copy of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters was sent to you if you subscribe for 1 year or 5 years, plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Now, not so long ago, we had a very exciting interview with James Carrion, who's been a longtime researcher into UFOs, about his book called The Rosetta Deception, about counterintelligence activities related to the ghost rockets of the 1940s. And for those of you who haven't followed what's going on here, because it's a very involved subject, James, welcome back to the Paracast. But please tell our listeners how you got involved in UFOs and how you became international director of MUFON. That's a story in itself.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me on, Gene. You know, my history with ufology and UFOs goes back to a very young age. When I was 11 years old, my mother actually subscribed to a number of tabloid magazines, and of course, front page news was aliens and flying saucers, and so, you know, that sort of sparked my interest. So I started clipping those articles and keeping them and trying to research as I was growing up. It wasn't until I moved to Colorado, though, that I actually got involved with MUFON, and that was back in 1996. I actually traveled down to Roswell, New Mexico for their anniversary in 97. That's where I first saw Stanton Friedman speak, for example. So, you know, early on I had this real keen interest in the field and the subject, and fortunately MUFON moved to Denver, and I got to know John Schuessler and volunteered at the office down there. And eventually ended up on their board of directors before I was elected as the MUFON National Director in 2006.
Now, I wanted to clarify that. So the process of becoming director of MUFON was democratic in the sense that the board would elect that person. Is that true now?
Honestly, I can't tell you what the election process is right now. It was democratic back when I was elected. It probably is as now it is now as well. I'm not really sure.
Okay. Obviously, you had a falling out. At one point, you were no longer director. What happened?
So, actually, I had already made the decision to leave MUFON. I had given them notice that I would soon be leaving because I had other interests to pursue, including the research that I've done. And so it was actually at the end of my term, but it was also at the same time that MUFON had a contract with Bigelow Aerospace. And after I found some disturbing things about that relationship and about the Skinwalker Ranch out in Utah, and I voiced my concerns to the board and about what the funding sources were, you know, where Bigelow was getting the money that was passing into MUFON's hands, the board elected to go behind my back and to try to smooth things over with Bigelow. And when I found out about that, I resigned immediately.
Now, what were your concerns?
My concerns were that, you know, Bigelow Aerospace claims that they were interested in ufology and in UFOs to try to exploit it in terms of aerospace technology. They were looking to investigate the subject to figure out if they could somehow come up with some crazy new propulsion system, for example, based on observations or the investigation. So they hired MUFON to go out and do these investigations for them. There was a lot of money that was spent. And the thing that sort of worried me early on was that Bigelow would never reveal where the funding came from. It wasn't his money. It wasn't or he claimed he had sponsors. But he was only willing to reveal those sponsor names to John Schuessler. So there was sort of this gatekeeper mentality already going in, and that worried me. But then when I went out to the Skinwalker Ranch and tried to do some investigation of my own and was refused entry onto the ranch, and then talking with some of the folks that worked on the ranch, found out that there was a tie-in with the Bob Lazar story and some of the mythology that was coming out of Area 51 being promoted by some of the scientists involved with NIDS. All that together just sort of crystallized for me that there was something more going on here, that there was something that was not transparent, that was not honest. And, you know, when I voiced this to the board and said we really need to reconsider our relationship here, they decided to go otherwise and follow the dollar.
Is that what it's all about? Because there's now this Hangar One TV reality show. And I assume, to use MUFON's name, they're getting a paycheck.
Honestly, I don't know how much they're getting paid by History Channel, or I don't think there's probably a large amount of money passing into MUFON's hands right now as because of the show. I think they're probably using it more for PR advantage. The more they get their name out there, the more people see the name, the more people that join up as members and go to their conferences and buy their merchandise. So I think it's more for a PR strategy more than just about getting a paycheck from a cable channel.
Now, in general, though, the Hangar One show has gotten miserable reviews because they're not presenting accurate information about UFOs. They're making things up. They have faked documents, or they exaggerate things. So how do you get by claiming to be a responsible UFO research organization, but then you allow this to have your name, to carry your name, to represent your image?
Exactly. It's my point. I had an interesting discussion over Facebook with one of their directors of investigation about this. And, you know, in the conversation, we were going back and forth about, okay, how much has Hangar One hurt MUFON's reputation? And this person, who I won't name, basically said, oh, it hasn't hurt us at all. We're doing great. You know, we've got more interest from scientists than we've had in years. And, of course, when I press him for details, what scientists, you know, I get this, oh, big-name scientists, but they don't want to have their name revealed publicly because of the ridicule factor of UFOs. And the more I thought about that, I thought, wow, that's just a double standard. You know, how can you tell me you're not hurt by having, you know, such ridiculous shows that push mythology, but then you're telling me that you have science and corporations backing you that refuse to publicly reveal their names behind, you know, that support? That simply doesn't make any sense.
Now, you also had tried to get involved in a dialogue on Facebook with MUFON, and it kind of shut you down. I'm going to ask you about that in our next segment. We have James Carrion. His current book is The Rosetta Deception, but a Roswell Deception's under construction. A lot more to come with Gene and our guest co-host, Kirk Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free Everstrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Again, that's FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalLighter.com today.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins, but did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co, because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right, whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Kurt Collins is joining us as guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. We've got James Carey on here. His book is The Rosetta Deception. He's working on a Roswell book, but we're talking now about the problems of his past relationship with MUFON. A former international director, actually former national director or international director? I get confused over the titles.
International director.
Okay. So what I heard here and what I saw is that you apparently were trying to set up a discussion in MUFON's Facebook account. And it's supposed to be an open discussion about UFOs, I gather, but they shut you down?
Yeah, let me tell you how it happened here. Basically, I posted a message that said, MUFON should really change their model. Currently, their model is the scientific investigation of UFOs for the benefit of humanity. And I thought, based on season one of Hangar One and how poorly they've actually presented science or ufology in terms of science, that they should change their model to the pseudoscientific investigation of UFOs for the benefit of Hollywood. Because apparently the only one who's benefiting from Hangar One right now is the audience, History Channel audience, who tend to flock to these shows looking for the mysterious, and looking for more, anything that's sensational. And the thing that really irks me about, shows like Hangar One or Ancient Aliens or any of these other shows out there that have a huge following, you end up, after watching one of these shows, having more questions and answers. It's always that frustrating feeling of nothing ever got resolved here. I never really received any good information that told me what's going on. And sadly enough, MUFON has decided to follow in those footsteps. So the interesting thing is when I posted this message, it requires moderation and somebody has to actually approve before it gets posted to the forum. And lo and behold, it was approved by one of the moderators. There's two main moderators on the forum. Well, the other moderator took exception to me posting and decided to confront me about it. And that tit for tat, which you can read online, basically ended up in having my post removed immediately. So I was basically censored on their forum.
Did they say anything to you or just did it behind the scenes?
Oh, no, it was mid-step. I was actually about to post a final message when Facebook aired out and said, oh, you can't post this message. It's no longer available. So it was removed while I was in the process of posting.
So you can't post again in their Facebook area?
Oh, no, I don't think I was banned from posting. It's just that particular message thread was censored and banned.
Did you write them and say, what the heck are you doing?
Absolutely. And then I heard after, this is after I posted my article online, then I heard from the moderator that I didn't have this tit for tat. She was apologetic and said, oh, you know, really you should repost it and we'll be glad to accept it. And my feeling is, you know what, too little too late. MUFON should incur this bad publicity because this is simply no way to run an organization. This subject is so muddied. It's so dirty. There's so much bad information floating around. And the last thing any organization that promotes truth and science and investigation should be doing is trying to censor any level of communication or any level of dialogue. They should, you know, it should be transparency to the hilt. And that's one of the things that I've noticed is since I've left MUFON is that the transparency in that organization simply is non-existent.
Well, is it a case of everything going in and nothing coming out? What level of information can you get from the publication? The MUFON Journal and online?
Well, they do publish a number of their cases in the journal, their monthly journal. And when you submit, for example, a case online, some UFO sighting that you have, you can actually get data back in terms of, getting statistics and finding out what some of the top cases are and where they're located. And actually, that's not even, my beef with MUFON when I talk about data in and no data out. What I consider no data out is simply there is no research being done. There's no proper research being done. So MUFON always had this reputation of give us your information, we'll do something with it. Well, actually, nothing's done with it. They've collected data for over 40-something years, and they can't even form a hypothesis about what they think is going on or any conclusions about what's going on. And they always pay lip service to science, saying we have this science board and we have all these top scientists working with us with PhDs and they're highly credentialed folks. Well, what are they doing? They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything with the data. They haven't been able to publish any research studies. And then when this is brought to MUFON's attention, then all of a sudden we get folks in the organization saying, oh, well, we're doing it right now. Well, we're signing up new scientists. We have these great ideas. We have these great research projects. And I'm thinking, well, that's great. So let's wait and see what the results are. But what about the data that's been collected for the last 40-something years? Who is looking at that? Who is actually doing anything with that?
Is anyone doing anything with that?
I seriously doubt it.
I've got friends on both sides of this issue, and James, I'm going to give you a bouquet, and some are ready to throw rotten fruit at you. So I'm just wanted to ask one thing about the television show, which I think I dislike more than you do. I think that I don't want to forgive them for it, but isn't it a bit like an author who sells his book rights and a bad movie gets made out of it? I mean, they can't be blamed for everything that the producers do.
You know, I actually would tend to disagree with that. When I actually did a show for the Discovery Channel called UFOs Over Earth, I made sure that when we wrote up the contract for that we had some discretion in how the show was going to be produced and how MUFON would be portrayed. So effectively, there is some leeway if it's negotiated properly. You don't just let the media run over you just because they, you know, it's their channel. It's still your intellectual property. It's still your organization. If you want your organization to be portrayed accurately, then go out and grab, you know, one of your members who's a lawyer who can actually negotiate this on your behalf. So it sounds like they just went in and they were so giddy over the fact that they got this show that they signed the dotted line, didn't read the fine print, and now they try to blame the producers about what the product is. And I just don't buy that.
Well, Hollywood agreements in general have hidden traps. We're not so hidden traps. I mean, it's part and parcel of the industry for even famous entertainers, producers, directors to sue the movie companies or the TV production companies.
Right. And it's also an option to opt out of any further production. So they've signed up for season 2. Obviously, they don't see anything wrong with season 1. But I have a big problem with season one. Season one, and I'm really anxious to see how season two is going to turn out and what their future episodes are going to be about. But season one has been nothing more than mythology making, or mythology promoting, I should say, because they've regurgitated all of the mythology that's out there, and it really doesn't portray Mufon in any scientific light at all. It really, actually, it's very embarrassing. I said this on the forum. I refuse to let my 11-year-old son watch Hangar One because I'm too embarrassed to have to tell him, hey, I was the director of this organization not too long ago. It's that embarrassing to me.
Avalon, you were director. I wanted to ask you about that. Now, you were talking about the flow of information. I just wanted to know what differences from your tenure to what you're seeing now. Was there... I know you had some projects, the Project Pandora, where you were scanning MUFON documents, and some of those became available temporarily on the Black Vault. What were you trying to do, and how is it different from what's happening now?
Well, when I started up Project Pandora, the goal of Project Pandora was to scan all of MUFON's paper case files and to make them available to researchers. So they have been scanned. They were scanned under my tenure. And they were, there are multiple copies out there. Each board member, for example, has a complete copy of all of those files. But I haven't seen, or the board was never willing to actually, let them be used freely. There was always this idea of, oh, we can sell access to our files, either to researchers or to, corporations. So there was always this thought of there's a money angle behind it. So in terms of freely releasing the information to the public, you know, you have to get past the board first. And the board's never been really willing to do that. I don't know if they're more open-minded now about that, but that information should be out there. It should be available to anybody who's a serious UFO researcher, or just to the public in general. I understand that there's privacy information or privacy concerns because there's witness information in there. But if, you know, if we look back at the, any legal obligations MUFON has in terms of privacy, there are very old case files that simply I don't think applies anymore. And that information should be freely made available.
We have more to come with James Carrion. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS, 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Don't
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Kurt 70, author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. Chris O'Brien will be back next week. He is mourning this week the death of his brother, Brendan O'Brien, someone whom I talked to once when he was on the Paracast, really wonderful guy, and he left us on the 23rd of March. James Carrion is here. We've been talking very much here about James' connection with MUFON, his international director, about the problems he's had with them, and also this new TV show, Hangar One, going into its second season, one of these reality shows. And you wonder, James, about the reality shows in general. The people who watch them, they're not really interested in getting scientific information. It's just entertainment. It's like Survivor.
Well, it is entertainment. I mean, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why these shows are out there and they proliferate. And that's understandable. People like to be entertained. But there's also a serious side to it. I mean, let's face it. If MUFON has a serious mission, then they need to portray that seriously, even if it's on a show that's meant to entertain you.
Well, unfortunately, producers don't have that in mind. I think there's a feeling that even so-called legitimate news shows are doing things for the entertainment value, the ratings value. Selling ads, not so much to convey legitimate news.
But, you know, let's take, for example, other shows out there. Let's take, for example, the show Cops. You know, when we're seeing real policemen doing a real job, doing real investigations, catching real, you know, criminals, they don't have to portray their work as something else to try to boost the ratings or try to entertain them. There's an entertainment value there, but it portrays what they do real life. You know, this Hangar One, season one of Hangar One doesn't show what MUFON does, you know, as an allegedly serious investigation. And, you know, a lot of it, like I said, was mythology promoting. Season two may be different. But the bottom line is that you have to have some accuracy there, some accurate portrayal of what you're about. And putting talking heads on there that are agreeing, you know, about underground Nazi bases or, you know, just ridiculous things is not going to assign MUFON any sort of scientific reputation where somebody who casually is watching the show, maybe even for entertainment value, but who has a scientific background is going to want to lend their name to that.
Oh, it's a missed opportunity. I've talked to some people that are involved on the show, and in fact, the show checked with me on access on how to get pictures from the Cash Landrum case. And as James John Schuster, Someone in MUFON should know how to get in touch with John Schuessler about pictures and case information for this case that was the signature MUFON case for some time. I mean, it just goes to show how poorly coordinated this is, that the show researchers aren't going to MUFON for their story files. And one example is one of the season one episodes was based on an internet rumor, some Barstow UFO case where it was supposedly a landing and a men in black surrounding the area. And that was all based on a post on the internet forum, if there was ever a MUFON case file, I could never locate it. So some of this was in like the Jackie Gleason thing where President Nixon took him to see a frozen alien. That was a National Enquirer story. So now supposedly they're going to stick with MUFON cases in season two, but I've seen the show titles and my hopes are not high for it. But I think the show is a big missed opportunity. But I want to change the subject here a little bit. I think MUFON has its problems, but I think ufology as a whole has its problems. And sometimes MUFON gets blamed for just what's wrong with ufology, and it's not exactly the same thing.
Well, I would agree. I mean, MUFON is an organization. They've been around a long time. They are the successors to the organizations that are no longer around, like NICAP and APRO. And so as an organization, they have their own issues, as any organization does. Ufology in general, though, that's a whole different story. You know, honestly, I can't even describe in a nutshell what ufology is, because currently it's filled with everyone who claims that they have either some insight, or they have some special knowledge, or special investigation they've done, or some special evidence. Anybody can call themselves a ufologist. But where's the serious ufology at? Where are those folks that get together and they want to actually talk evidence, and they want to talk official documents, and they actually want to sit down and talk about this soberly? You know, everybody seems to be chasing whatever the latest fad is, or the latest rumor, whatever, you know, gives them some sort of publicity. It's really a debacle. It really is. Ufology is in such a sad state right now.
Let's go back into what got you going with your current projects. And of all the things you could have done in exploring the UFO mystery, why did you go back to the ghost rockets?
Well, let me give you a little background first here, Gene. When I was in MUFON, and back then I had a very genuine interest to understand what in the world was going on. You know, like I said, when I took over from John Schuessler, this was in 2006, I remember actually sitting down at MUFON headquarters probably a couple of years before that, and John and I were sitting at a little cafe right across from the headquarters front, the little storefront they had there. And, you know, I said, you know, in all sincerity, I asked John, what do you think's going on? What do you think's happening? What are UFOs about? What do you think's behind this? And his answer really floored me. He said, I don't know. And that floored me, because I thought, wait a minute, how can you not have an idea? You know, you've been the director for so long. You've been in this organization for so long. So much data has been accumulated. Surely you must have some understanding of what's going on. And he really didn't have any answers. So that intrigued me. And as I started getting more involved in MUFON, what intrigued me is how many different folks with various high-level degrees were involved in the organization. And I thought, well, you know, these guys can't all be crazy. Obviously, you know, they're credentialed folks. They have an education. If they see something in this phenomena, there must be something here. So that's what really intrigued me. That's what really got me going, was this pursuit of truth. And when I became the director, and as I started to either investigate cases on my own or receive data coming into MUFON headquarters, the more I started to get this sinking feeling that there were other forces at play here, forces that had nothing to do with Men in Black and, you know, cover up of the subject, more along the lines of simply deception. Folks that were trying to come in and do anything possible to disrupt the ufology as a field, as an organization, and trying to disrupt real research. It also always seemed to be some sinister force that was coming in to try to meddle in affairs. And the more I started seeing that, the more I started thinking, there's something to this. This is a part that's unexplored. You know, folks want to label it Men in Black. I'm not satisfied with that, because I don't believe that there's some omniscient, omnipresent organization that knows all, sees all, and can be everywhere at once. There are real human beings behind this deception. And why are they doing this? What is their motivation? What are they seeking? And so I thought, you know, I'm going to start looking into that part. And as I started researching, it led me back to start, you know, exploring the early days of UFOs. And as I went back in the 1940s, I started to see that same threat of deception. And that's where I landed, and that's where I thought I'm going to focus my research, is here at the very beginning of the modern UFO era, you know, back in times of Maury Island and Kenneth Arnold and Roswell and the ghost rockets. And so that's where I focused my research for the last 5 years.
Now, if we look at these early events and find they were all or mostly related to intelligence activities, does that kind of destroy the edifice of ufology?
Not at all. And this is the argument I seem to have nonstop with folks in the field who are threatened by the fact that I'm trying to, you know, show that these cases are probably more Cold War intrigue than extraterrestrial visitation, because they see it as if somehow these four major cases get dismantled, that the entire ET hypothesis is going to topple along with it. And I'm thinking I don't even understand why they're defensive about this, because that's not the case. You know, if we think about the universe, this large place that we live in, of which we're a very small part in, it's enormously huge. Science has actually shown statistically that there's life out there. There are other civilizations. They're out there. The question is, have they arrived here? Have they visited us? That's really the question that ufology is trying to pursue and what they're trying to prove. And who knows? You know, we can't place outside the realm of possibilities that we've been visited in the past. We've been visited in the present. We're going to be visited in the future. So even if these cases fall to the you know, wayside as Cold War intrigue, that doesn't discount the possibility that there are still cases out there that are real and that can be proven to be real.
So the important thing here is to deal with the cases that are obviously not unusual craft from heaven knows where. That helps us find the answers. We've got a lot more to talk about with James Carrion, including the things he's been working on since the Rosetta Deception was first published. Kurt Collins is our co-host. With Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
St. Paddy's Day is coming soon to Guns80.com. My buddy Mark is rolling in clover since Guns80.com announced its clean and green sale. He used his leprechaun-like magical powers to get Guns80.com to offer us a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, for a limited time, when you order an AR-15 rifle kit, Guns80.com will toss in a cleaning kit and a tactical bipod pistol grip free, all for the low, low price of $449.95. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.